We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
You know, many of you are aware of the outpouring of support, the outpouring of love in our community. That's pretty standard. You know about that because it occurs on a regular basis whenever there's a tragedy. We bond together in Buffalo. We're resilient. We do what we have to do.
Amen.
But I'm here to tell you something else. Last night, I was on the phone with the chief legal officer and the vice president of the Brady Center. And the Brady Center, out of Washington, D.C., is so upset about what happened in our community that they're going to join forces with us. They're going to do it on a pro bono basis, and they're going to make our strong team even stronger. So we're going to use that strength. We're going to capitalize on that strength. We're going to use it to accomplish the goals for each and every one of you. We're going to fight for you. We're going to fight for all of your families. And we're going to make sure that we honor the legacy of these people who died so tragically, who never had to die like that, who never expected to die like that. And that's what we're going to accomplish, and that's what we commit to today.
Let me, as we bring the families, acknowledge the New York State president of the Baptists of the state of New York, Reverend Carl Washington, came up from Harlem. Reverend Kirsten John Foy came up, one of our young leading activists nationwide. Reverend Brown, where's Reverend Brown? He's the head of the Baptist ministers here in Buffalo, who's hosting us in the prayer rally tonight, and all of the ministers of the gospel that are standing here and that will stand here. I want to acknowledge them because they'll be here long after. If something else happened tonight, y'all will be gone to that story. There is no other story for us than the lives of our people shot down. That could have been my mama. Amen. That could have been my daughter. It could have been my cousin. They were in the store shopping, and they were given death. That cannot be tolerated. Let us bring the family.
Thank you, Reverend Al, and he's right. This was an act of domestic terrorism, and that's how we should define it. Domestic terrorism. It is no less than any other national mass shooting, whether Parkland or Columbine. This is just as bad, and we have to act like that, Reverend Al, because if we don't, then America doesn't respond like it's an act of terrorism. When there's a terrorist attack on America, we respond to the highest level. Well, that's what we want them to do for these victims, these black victims in Buffalo, New York, at Top Supermarket. Amen?
Amen.
And so we're going to have Mr. Mark Talley, who's going to tell you about his mother, and he's joined by his wife, Miss Talley. And this is his first time speaking on this matter, so it's very emotional.
Bless you, son.
Take your time, Mark.
Take your time, brother.
The last time I spoke with my mother was on Mother's Day. I sent her a text message saying Happy Mother's Day. She replied back, thank you. And that was the last time. That was it. I never would have thought that would be the last time I would speak to her or hear her voice. I never would have thought my mother would be shot dead, have a bullet go through the right temple on her head because a white supremacist scouted, put a manifesto online, twitched about it, wrote on 4chan about it.
My Lord.
Came to Buffalo apparently a few days prior, found the community of low socioeconomic status to plan this hate attack. I constantly think about what could have been done. And it seems like this is, it's like Groundhog Day. Like, how many times have we seen a young white supremacist, they post on a far right wing social media site what they plan on doing, what type of people they hate, who they want to target. They go out, buy a semi-automatic rifle. I mean, myself, I can't even go to a local gun store and even just shoot around without a concealed carry permit. But somehow an 18-year-old is easily able to just buy an illegally modified semi-automatic rifle.
My Lord.
And like I said, it's just Groundhog Day. Like, we've seen this over and over and over again. Honestly speaking, I wouldn't be surprised if another event happens like this down the line. I never thought that this would happen in Buffalo. Like, it's hard for me to imagine the city in which I grew up in, the neighborhood which I grew up in, the Tops on Jefferson, which I went to plenty times growing up. That'll be a place of the next terrorist attack. The first terrorist attack, I believe, here in the United States. And it seems like people of color are becoming, it used to say we're second class citizens. I believe we're third class citizens now. Because depending what type of animal somebody has, you know, that dog is considered family. And it seems like over, over the past century, like, it's known people of low socioeconomic status, people of color, this really aren't our home. You had it in the 1920s in Tulsa, when you saw African Americans start doing good for themselves. You had a bunch of white people, bunch of Klansmen, bunch of racists, just destroy it. You had it throughout the 60s or 70s, when veterans, black veterans, were coming home after serving their country, fighting in Vietnam. They couldn't even get a job here. You had it in the 80s with the crack epidemic.
That's right.
When you had African Americans getting addicted to this, they didn't try to help them out. They didn't try to get them some substance abuse counseling. They were either killed or they were sent to prison. Compared to what's going on now with the opioid crisis. The first thing they try to do is to get you in some type of addiction center, some rehab, some counseling. Last time I heard, I haven't even heard any opioid people getting RICO charges. But you have rappers getting RICO charges.
That's right.
So like I said, this, we're not even considered second class citizens no more. Depending on what type of dog a family may have, that dog is considered more family than the regular black person you see walking down. So hopefully this is the last event. Honestly, I don't think it is. And I don't think it will be for a long time. Once again, the fact that an 18-year-old man can easily purchase a semi-automatic rifle, and yet people claim the gun laws are too strict, or we're trying to tread on their right to buy guns, is just sad and depressing. And my mom showed to be a victim of this, because somebody woke up, decided they didn't like black people, and shot a hollow point bullet just right here, with her fiance watching, hiding in the cooler as best as he could, and he ended up getting scratches all over his chest and arms. My mother's fiance had to watch her die with a hollow point bullet going through her right temple.
Thank you, Mark, for bearing your heart on behalf of your mother, Geraldine Talley. And we continue to pray for you and your siblings and your family. Next, we're going to have Miss Veronica White and her son, Anthony Elliott, and her granddaughter come and talk to you about Andre McNeil, her nephew, who, as we said, was trying to get a birthday cake for his 3-year-old son. You can do it. Just tell him who your nephew was.
Andre was my nephew. He just came here to get us on a birthday party. Went to the store and got shot in the back of the head. We found out he was dead on Facebook, and it's not right.
It is not right.
That was not right.
My God.
And he had left behind 5 kids. And his youngest is a 3-year-old, and he keeps thinking his father is asleep. His father is gone. He won't even know his father. And I won't see my nephew no more. And he got a sister and a brother left here. And they won't see their brother anymore. And this is so senseless. I cannot believe somebody would give some child a gun and let him think that it's okay and come in somebody's hometown and just shoot it up. It just shoot people down like dogs. That doesn't make any sense to me. It shouldn't have happened.
God bless you. We with you. Yeah, I can imagine how hard and difficult this is, and this is going to be just as difficult. We're going to have Miss Tarzan Patterson and her 12-year-old son, Jake Patterson, the son of Deacon Hayward Patterson, come and try to tell you who his daddy was. Miss Patterson and Miss Jake. And Bishop is also coming to stand with the
My name is Tirza Patterson. This is my son, Jakey was Patterson. He is 12 years old. And they took his father. He will grow up fatherless. He has to live even after this. And I have to pray that God give me strength to raise him the best of my ability. He is the youngest son. Deacon Patterson did have 2 older daughters, but this is his youngest son. This is his only son who would carry on his name. And every day I have to pray and do a check-in with him to make sure he's not mentally all over the place. His heart is broken. He has sleeps, he has eats, and as a mother, what am I supposed to do to help him get through this? I need a village to help me raise and be here for my son, because he has no father. The God we serve is his father, but a natural father he does not have. And it was taken from him early. And I just wanted you to know, Deacon Patterson, he was my husband. Although we divorced, we were married for 15 years. And he'd been in his life. He was a good father. He took care of him. He didn't lack for anything. Anything he asked for, he got it. Now to have him grow up without him is hurtful. So we ask for your prayers. Continue to pray for us that God gives us strength to go through this, and keep my son in your prayers.
Thank you. You all right?
Miss Patterson, you won't be alone. We are the village. 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 Jacob gonna have strong male figures here for him. Bishop, we with you.
Amen.
Finally, you all have met them. They have in many ways been the voice for this tragedy, not only for their family, but for all the victims, for the community. The children of Miss Ruth Whitfield, Garnell Jr., Raymond, Angela, and Robin. They're going to come and remind you again who their mother was before we take some of your questions. So if the Ruth Whitfield's children will come to the mic.
That racist young man took my mother away. I am the eldest daughter of Ruth Whitfield. She was my best friend. What am I to do? What am I supposed to do now? I keep seeing her face coming up everywhere I look. But I can't kiss her, I can't hug her. We were supposed to go see the Temptations play that night. Oh, and I have the tickets still on my table. How dare you! Don't. Oh, please.
Come on.
Oh, my. Bless you.
Bless your heart.
I am trying to forgive. But I'm finding it very difficult. Very difficult. Because I'll never see her again. I took my last picture of my mom on Mother's Day. She was so beautiful. But that picture can't replace her. Nothing can. And I have my family here.
Sure do. Yes. We sure do.
Got you. We have
you. Mr. Robin.
We have you.
But they can't replace her.
That's right.
Either.
That's right.
I need this violence to stop. We need to fix this. And we need to fix it now.
Fix it now.
Thank you.
You've heard much about our story and our mother. But the thing that strikes me that 86-year-old woman who had her first baby at 18 and her last at 25, she spent every day of that life trying to protect us from the very violence that she fell to. That is unthinkable. But you know what? We are going to rally together as she has taught us to rally together, okay? I just want to say this. We were first out here, but our heart has been breaking all this time for all of these families.
Yes.
And we want you to know we love you.
Yes.
And we're with you.
Yes.
Okay?
Thank you.
We need you to be with us.
Yes.
Okay? And I said this last night, but I'm going to say it again. You know, when you're down on a knee, you have a problem with us getting down on one knee. But it's a little hard. It takes us a little longer to stand up and say, my country, tis of thee. When you're down on one knee, wiping away the blood off of our streets and the floors of our grocery store. Have compassion. Let's do something to solve this problem. We're not coming here with hate. We're coming here, of course, with anger and with pain. And we're saying it's time to do what we have to do. And one of the things that we can do is to get legislation.
Amen.
Okay?
That's right.
Legislation.
Amen.
That says if you do things like this, okay, it's called black hate crime.
Yeah.
Okay?
Anti-black hate crime bill.
There you go. I say no more. I'll pass on. Angela, if you like to say something.
I can't.
Go ahead.
Okay.
I don't know what I could add to this. You've heard the families, you've seen the tears, they're real. This is all very real. You guys are here with your cameras, and you're here with your microphones, you're chasing us around, sticking microphones in our face, asking us what we want you to do. Mm-hmm. Well, I want to know, can you give us back our loved ones? Can you give us our loved ones back? Because that's a crazy question. We don't know what to do. We're asking for your help. I want to personally thank, and there's been a lot of banter about what we're doing and why we're doing. My family is a very private family. This was difficult for us. This is difficult to share our pain publicly. It's difficult. We're doing this because we don't know what else to do. Nobody came to help us. Nobody asked for, came and wrapped their arms around us, but these guys did. Reverend Sharpton, I want to thank you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes.
Brother Kroom, I want to thank you. They've been there from the beginning. And that's the only resource that we have available to us to try to channel this anger and this pain into something that will memorialize our loved ones in a manner befitting them.
Amen. Amen.
So we ask for their help.
Amen.
We asking for your help. You guys have the power of the pen. You got all of these cameras. Go stick them in the face of this guy's parents.
Thank you.
Go stick them in the face of the people who won't pass laws to protect us and treat us like human beings. Go ask them what they're going to do.
Tell them, Garnell.
We need your help. That's your job.
Amen.
We're doing our job. We're law-abiding citizens. We're not asking for any favors. We want help. We just want to live in peace. My grandchildren are here. Her great-grandchildren, my children. I'm scared for them. I'm scared for them. I have to hold their reins because it's not safe out here.
My Lord.
We're not animals. We're human beings.
Yes,
and the world ought to know that.
Yes, sir.
And it's about time America treats us like human beings.
Thank you.
So why can't we get this done?
Amen.
We've heard talk about gun laws and all these other things. They're all real issues. But this is white supremacy.
That's right.
This is terrorism. Let's call it what it is. And all of these things come up under that.
Yes, sir.
Let's call it what it is.
Yep.
It's hate.
Yes.
It's hate. It doesn't belong here. I'm not going to talk about my mother. I'm tired of crying. I can talk all day about my mother. I know everybody's got somewhere to go. I can talk all day about my mother. I'm so thankful that we got a chance to meet these other families and hear their stories.
Yes.
Because they're our brothers and our sisters.
Yes.
We are a community. We're family.
Amen.
We need your help.
Talk to us. We are the village.
Yeah.
We are the village.
Can I say something?
I have a dream.
Let it ring.
That one day in America, all of people will see. Black people, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics will be able to join hands and live in peace. White hatred is real in America. Too long have I listened to red and blue lies coming out of white mouths. This is America. We have the last daughter of Miss Whitfield, who's going to try her best to say something, and then we're going to get to your questions.
Let justice ring.
Okay. Angela, can you try?
We'll try.
I apologize, I'm hoarse. I do want to say this city. I got a call a week ago that nobody should ever receive. When I got to town, I felt so lost. I felt so empty and hopeless. But since I've been here, it's been such an outpouring of love for us. People have been so beautiful. I thank you for it. And we're not gonna let this hate rule the day.
Amen.
I thank all of these people here for what they are trying to do. And you,
Father God will make a way for you.
Yes, yes.
I thank
yes,
you. Yes, yes,
yes. We're here with you, Angela.
We'll make a way for you. Yes, it will. We'll make a way.
Again, yeah. Again, before we have your questions, we want to thank Reverend Al for standing with these families. Attorney Connors and Attorney Urbano and I, we represent these four families, and we're going to do everything in our power to get some accountability in any other family who wants to take on the gun manufacturers and the gun distributors, where we now have the Brady Center, and we're going to be a village that's going to stand for this community of East Buffalo to tell the gun lobby be held accountable for selling these young white supremacists, these assault weapons who mow us down like animals. You will be held accountable. We stand together as the village. We are the village. We are the village.
We are the village.
We are the village.
We are the village.
We are the village.
We are the village.
We are the village. And we're going to be here for the children of Ruth Whitfield all the way down to the 12-year-old child of Deacon Haywood Patterson and the 3-year-old son of Andre McNeil.
Yes.
We will be here for them because we are the village.
We are the village.
Hate will not win over love. Anything else, Reverend?
No.
Question? We'll take your questions.
Reverend Al Sharpton, are you confident in your plea to President Biden that he will follow through on holding that summit?
I'm confident that they are taking this in serious consideration. I've talked to senior staff there, and I'm confident that we're going to keep this in front and center in this country and make it happen. Movements come from the bottom up, not the top down, and this has ignited a movement against hate, and we're calling on our communities to rise up and not let this continue.
Many were upset about Gendron's not guilty plea, and I wanted to get your reaction, Ben Crump, and maybe some of the families. What was your immediate reaction when he said not guilty?
Well, how can you plead not guilty when you wrote a manifesto saying what you were going to do, and you did it? How can you plead not guilty when you drive 3 hours, case out of place, and you surgically decide where you're going to attack and why you're going to attack? You can't even act like, you know, I'm hearing some people say, well, maybe there's a mental health issue. He seemed like he had a whole lot of strategic sense to me.
Amen.
If he could plot out and plan out and then execute. So let's stop making excuses for hate. Let's stop making excuses for white supremacy. It is wrong, it is poisonous, but this is not a question of mental health, it's a question of the nation's health if we keep letting this happen.
My Lord.
Anyone else?
Certainly. And Attorney Connors may have something to add on to this. We absolutely intend on going after the gun manufacturers, the gun distributors, and anybody else who was an accomplice to this young 18-year-old white supremacist. You know, it is true, they may not have pulled the trigger,
But all these people who curated that hate, they loaded the gun. They loaded the gun that killed her mama. And that's who we plan to hold accountable. We're investigating everybody, and now with the help from the Brady Center, we're going to follow the precedent that's been set in Connecticut with Sandy Hook, with the precedent down in South Carolina of getting accountability for these black families who have been killed based on hate. Attorney Connors?
We're going to start right from the shooting and work our way backwards chronologically. We're going to show that there were red flags that were missed, and we're going to find out why those red flags were missed. We're going to look at the legislation and see where the holes are in the legislation. We're going to patch those holes in the legislation, because that's what has to be done, because these people deserve that. They deserve more than that, and we're going to give it to them.
Do you intend to go after the parents?
We intend on going after everybody who was an accomplice to this young monster killing these innocent people.
Mr. Crump, you've mentioned multiple times about anti-black hate crime bill. What are you referring to? Can you elaborate more on that, please?
Certainly. What we want to see is that when black people are wrongfully killed, that we are afterthought. No, we want, just like the priority was given, and rightfully so, when they were attacking the Asian women in New York, everybody got behind them and they passed that anti-Asian hate crime bill with little or no resistance. Well, why is it we can't get some federal legislation passed to say that we need to have an anti-black hate crime bill too? Because our lives matter just as much as any other life. And that's all we're saying. Make us a priority too.
And that is one of the reasons why we're calling for this National Hate Summit. Because in a few weeks, these same legislators will be coming to the black community asking for our vote. And when we are shot down, we want your vote in the Senate and the Congress, or don't come and ask us for no vote. The midterm elections need to deal with the issue of hate crimes. No one should expect votes if they're not going to deal with hate crimes. We should have a national day memorializing these 10 victims. We should have a day. We should have a day nationwide and in this state that the flags are half-mast against hate and these victims. We let Charleston go. And where's the legislation since Charleston? Where's the legislation since Pittsburgh? Where's the legislation since Atlanta? How many times are we gonna keep coming back to the same thing and then say, oh, we're so sorry, and then move
on?
We've got to go beyond sympathy to legislation and justice.
Yeah. How many times can they say thoughts and prayers with no action? Any other questions?
When Republicans are talking about that they're taking away gun rights, when there's gun control bills being passed through, there's a lot of emotion there. And it's hurtful to a lot of the people in the black community and those who suffer from this. So what do you say to those Republicans who are fighting you on this issue?
Well, we have to have courageous politicians who will put people over politics. You know, Ruth Whitfield is bigger than political expediency. Geraldine Talley is more important than political expediency. Deacon Haywood Patterson is more than political expediency. Andre McNeil is more than political expediency. When are we going to put people over politics? That's what we say to the national leaders who keep cowering to the gun lobby and just mindlessly looking over all these bodies falling dead, where the blood is on their hand, if they don't have the courage to stand up to help prevent another senseless mass shooting in America. Thank you all.
Thank you.
And white supremacists are descendants of the Ku Klux Klan.
Amen. Amen.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.